God is good to us. A couple of questions to you. How many of us are praying for souls to be added to the church? It's a question. We don't pray for souls to be added to the church and become proactive. We will die out. Is that what God wants? Is that what you want?
No.
So how many of us are praying for souls to be added to the church? Another question. How many of us are praying for a more permanent building situation?
Yeah.
You know, if we ask not, we won't get it.
No.
Right? Simple as that. The Bible says you have not because you're not asking. And I think as a church, we've become a bit lethargic. We've come a bit comfortable. I could use another word, we've become lazy. It's time to get off your seats and get on your knees. Time for each and every one of us to get off our seats and get on our knees and become verbal before God. Because if we don't petition the throne room of God, then we'll just be stuck here in this situation until one day most of us have gone on to glory and we leave nothing behind but an empty legacy. Is that what we want?
No.
I said, is that what we want?
No.
See, we get too comfortable. Oh, it's okay for me. I'm fine. Me and mine are fine. God did not save you to be fine. God saved you to win the lost. God saved you to minister and to preach the word of God.
Amen.
By your lifestyle. In everything that we have and everything that we do. So my challenge again to all of us, and I'm going to tell you what's going to be happening in the next week or two, we're going to start some prayer meetings off.
Yeah.
And you're going to be inconvenienced.
Amen.
Tough. Get over it and get into it.
Amen.
And if you say, well, I'm not coming, well, I'm... The powerhouse is the prayer house. Not this meeting that we're in now. We're teaching. We're giving you equipment today. Right? This is the equipping service. This is the encouraging service. This is the service where we come together and we worship and we praise God and we believe God that, you know, because of our powerhouse of prayer, that signs, wonders and miracles will begin to happen.
Yeah?
Hello? Getting quiet in here. Not for long. We need, you know, we started greatly with prayer, and a lot of people have been through us, been through our hands, and moved on for whatever reason. We need to block up the back door.
Amen.
And we need to see people coming in through the front door. That the house of God will be filled and will be filled with the glory of God.
Amen.
That's God's intention. All the subject that I've been taking on worship is about the glory of God coming into the house.
Amen.
God wants his house back.
Yeah, he
God wants his place back.
Amen.
God wants his position in the house back.
Amen.
So it's time we made some changes again. And begin to press in and believe God. Amen?
Amen.
And get out of being, you know, I can't do this because of. It's time to change.
Amen.
Be flexible, move. Praise God.
Yeah.
So those are the questions. Are we praying for souls to be added to the church? And how many of us are praying for a building where we can be more permanent and do other things?
Yeah.
Not always being able to pull down and not always having to queue behind somebody else wanting the building.
Mm-hmm.
So praise God. Turn with me to Revelation chapter 4. And we're still going to continue on the subject of a call to worship and obedience in Christ Jesus. Revelation chapter 4. Everybody found it?
Yeah.
Good. This is John. He's been caught up into heaven, into the heavenly realm. He says he doesn't know whether this happened just in his imagination or whether he was actually taken up into heaven itself. He's not sure. But he's in the presence of God. And chapter 4 starts off and it says, "After these things I looked and behold, a door standing open in heaven, and the voice which I had heard, like the sound of a trumpet speaking with me, said, 'Come up here, and I will show you what must take place after these things.'" God wants to show you.
Yeah. Amen. Yeah.
God wants to show you. The only way he's going to show us is when we are in a deeper relationship, when we're in a real worship relationship with the Lord, then he will begin to show us. When we're there in prayer. And prayer is not asking for things. Often we pray because we're asking for something, and people get this thing of prayer as being a time of asking. And it's not. You see, prayer, another word for prayer, is conversation. Conversation. Now, whilst I'm up here and speaking from the platform, we are not having a conversation.
No. No.
Right? Conversation is two-way. Conversation is when you go up to somebody and you sit down with them and you begin to talk to them and ask them how they are. And then you don't carry on talking, not waiting for the answer, and to carry on and tell them how good you are and everything that's happening for you. You wait for their answer back, don't you?
Yeah.
So how are you?
Fine.
You're fine, thank you. Wonderful. See, so we're starting a conversation, aren't we? Yeah. Prayer, conversation with God. God came in the cool of the evening in the Garden of Eden to have a conversation with Adam and Eve. How's your day been? What's been happening? And spend time with them. That's what prayer is. So many people think prayer is, here's my list. You might as well just go and put it on the notice board on the gate of heaven and say, "Here you are. Just take that and handle that for me." That's not worship. That's not conversation. That's not relationship. Is it? It's a shopping list. It's like when Grace says to me, "Will you go to the supermarket and get me this, this, and this?" It's not a conversation. It's, yeah, there you go. That's an order. Not that it happens very often. Because usually when I go, I usually come back with more than I was told to go for. As I did yesterday. I went for a lettuce yesterday. One lonely lettuce. And I went to the Co-op for it, and they had no lettuce left. They had chopped salads, and I thought, oh, I don't fancy that. So I thought, well, I need some fuel, so I'll go down onto Morrison's. So I went into Morrison's, and I came out with a lettuce, but I came out with half a melon because it looked lovely. I was tempted, you see. So I didn't stick to the instructions. And I was tempted to buy some other things, but I resisted. I didn't stop looking, though. I had a good look round because there was nobody in there, basically. It was late evening, and I went in. There was nobody there, so great. Hate it when it's full. But you see, for you and me, our prayer time should be a time of chatting with God. Not wanting to belittle the deity of God, but I'm wanting to bring you to a point where you realize that even in his greatness and his majesty, he wants to have communication. He wants a relationship. Amen. And our relationship comes out of our worship to him. Verse 2, it says, immediately I was in the Spirit. That's what we need to be.
Yeah.
In the Spirit.
Yeah.
And behold, a throne was standing in heaven, and one sitting on the throne, and he who was sitting was like a jasper stone and a sardis in appearance. And there was a rainbow around the throne like an emerald in appearance. There's a rainbow, a green rainbow. That means fruitfulness. Green means fruitfulness. It means life. Today, the trees are turning what colour?
Green.
Why are they turning green? Because life is coming up from the very roots of the earth into that tree, and that tree is beginning to show its life again. Winter time, it looked to be dead. Didn't it? But spring has come, and now the life is pushing out. The life is displaying itself, and it's standing there in all its glory and saying, I'm alive. And the birds are coming into them and singing, and they're rejoicing that the tree is alive. We have a tree in our garden, the blossom comes out on this tree. And at night time in particular, you know, the other night we just got out of the car, didn't we? I think it was from church, Wednesday evening. And the tree's right at the bottom of the garden. Must be more than the length of the church nearly. And yet we could smell the tree right at the side of the bungalow. It was filling the air with its fragrance. That's what God does. When his presence comes, he fills the air with his fragrance.
Amen.
We need to smell God. We need to smell God. You ladies, you wear perfume. Depends how strong it is, but you know, when you go, if you've caked it on quite a bit, you can walk by people and think, by God, that one's strong, isn't it, you know. But sometimes there are these delicate fragrances, and it's only when you get close that you smell the delicate fragrance. And when you get close to God, you begin to smell the fragrance of God. There's one seated on the throne in heaven with a rainbow of emerald green around him. Verse 4, and around the throne were 24 thrones. And upon the thrones I saw 24 elders sitting, clothed in white garments, and crowns on their heads. And from the throne proceeded flashes of lightning, and sounds and peals of thunder. And there were seven lamps of burning fire upon the throne, which are the seven spirits of God. And before the throne there was, as it were, a sea of glass like crystal. And in the center and around the throne, four living creatures full of eyes in front and behind. What a majestic scene this is. I mean, makes you, you know, you have to begin to allow your mind to absorb this and your spirit to absorb this. This glorious throne of God, and around him is this life. He's emanating. It's coming from the very throne room. You see, our life comes from God. That's why we should worship him. Our life comes from God. I'm alive today because God says so.
Yes, absolutely.
Think about that. You're not alive because it's your divine right. You're alive because God says so. Look at somebody and say, tell them, you're alive because God says you can be. You're alive because God says you can be. Amen? According to the world, some of you should be dead. But you're alive because God says so. And do you know why God says so? Because some people had a conversation with God and mentioned your name. Some of us had a chat with God and said to him, one of our friends who needs a touch from you, who needs that green life, who needs the power of the throne to touch them. And then we waited for God's answer. Praise his name. He answers. Thank God for that. Hallelujah. Where did we get to? What verse did we get to? No. Which verse did you get to? 24 thrones. That's 24 elders clothed with white garments. I saw 24 elders clothed in white garments and a golden crown on their heads. And verse 5, and from the throne proceeded flashes of lightning and sounds of peals of thunder, and there were seven lamps burning before the throne, and which are the seven spirits of God. And before the throne there was, as it were, a sea of glass like crystal in the center, and around the throne four living creatures full of eyes in front and behind. And the first creature, verse 7, was like a lion. And the second creature, like a calf. And the third creature had a face like of a man. And the fourth creature was like a flying eagle. One time when Grace and I were in France, we went in a cathedral, and the altar in that cathedral, it's quite sort of modern, the altar in one sense, but it had the four creatures of Revelation on each side of that altar. To some people, they would have missed what it was all about. Because we looked at it first, and as we were going round, suddenly saw an eagle, I think, first, and then saw like an ox, and then saw a man, and then saw the lion, and began to think, hang on, what's this? revelation. Revelation. It's, this church was declaring revelation. This was in the presence of the throne room of God. It's where we and you and I need to be. In the throne room of God. That's where our worship will take us. Verse 8. And the four living creatures, each one of them having six wings, are full of eyes around and within, and day and night they do not cease to say, and I think this is amazing, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God, the Almighty, who was and who is and who is to come. He's the God that was of the past. He's the God of the now, and He's the God of the future.
Amen.
Amen.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ, the same past, yesterday, the now, today, and the future forever.
Amen.
Jesus said, I and the Father are one.
Yeah.
With a yesterday, with a today, and with a tomorrow.
Amen.
Praise God. If He was with you yesterday and He's with you today, His promise is that He will be with you tomorrow.
Amen.
Didn't say, how you feeling, Ray? He said, I'll never leave you. He said, I'm your yesterday, I'm your today, and I'm your tomorrow. Never going to forsake us. Isn't that great? Absolutely great. We have a sure and certain hope. Faith without hope is dead. It's hopeless. Sorry about that. It's hopeless. Faith without hope is hopeless. Faith does not survive. Everything that God gives us does not live and breathe on its own. Everything about God is interconnected. That's why when you get saved, you cannot live in isolation and be saved to the fullness and to the blessings of God. It's all about fellowship, relationship, conversation that goes on in our lives. And you might think, I'm fine, I'm okay. You're living below par.
Yeah, that's right.
You're not achieving the destiny that God has for you. Because each and every one of us is here to affect somebody else's life.
Yeah. Amen.
For the glory of God.
Amen.
Whether you like it or not, that's why you're here.
Yeah.
That's why you were saved. You weren't just saved to go and have a good time in heaven. You were saved to affect other people's lives.
Amen.
You're saved for a purpose. That's why God gave you talents.
Yeah.
Don't sit there comfortable thinking, oh, I'm okay. I'm all right, Jack. God wants you to live in a greater dimension than what you're living in now.
Amen.
You connect with them. I use the word more wisely in the sense fellowship is when we spend quality time with people who we trust and know.
Yeah.
That's what I would call fellowship. Fellowship is more when we spend time in the family type situation. But at the same time, having done that, and we encourage one another and we are strengthened by one another, but then we have to speak to people we know.
Yeah.
And we talk to them about Jesus. Because if they don't hear, they'll never get saved. Right? So there it's a connection that we have. And then we start that process that as we begin to draw them towards Jesus in the kingdom. And hopefully that they come to a place of salvation. And then the next process is then we begin to disciple them. Which is then more of a fellowship type situation that we connect with. Is that understandable? Is that okay? Good. You know, don't get into that place where, and it's happening so much in churches today, we're going out to the pub. Why? Well, we're going to have a beer. Why? And I just look and think, how are you different to the world? How are we going to be different to the world? And I ask that question. Well, you can drink as much as you want for me. I don't care. Don't ask me to go, will you? Because I shan't be coming. You see, when you go to a pub, do you suddenly sit down and have your pints together and then start to pray? Hello? I don't think so. I've never seen that happen. Let's pray. The Bible says, be ye not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Don't follow the steps of the way of the world. Follow Jesus. Some folk might say, well, Jesus went into the local taverns and that. He did. But he didn't go to have a beer. He went to minister to those who were lost. He went to tell them the message that he's come to save their lost souls and to change their lives. I know you'll have people who turn around and say, well, what about the wedding of Cana of Galilee? He turned the water into wine. I know he did. I'm not going to go down that one today for you, but anyway. So fellowship is that communion with God, a right type of communion, a right type of relationship, talking backwards and forwards, listening to what God has got to say. Because God is listening to you. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is and who is to come. And when the living creatures give glory and honor and thanks to Him who sits on the throne, to Him who lives forever and ever, then the 24 elders will fall down before Him who sits on the throne. Are you getting this picture? The 24 elders who sit on these 24 thrones then fall down and will worship. Worship Him who lives forever and ever. And they will cast their crowns before the throne, saying, worthy art thou, our Lord and our God, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou didst create all things, and because of thy will they exist and were created. Amen. Look at the person next to you. They exist because God says they can.
Amen.
You're looking at somebody who exists because God says they can. Think about it. You know, this should really blow your minds. This should freak you out a bit. That you exist because God says you can. Wow. This is the creator of the universe. And he says, you can exist. You can exist. Because I say so, he says. Wow. That's how special you are. That's how precious you are. You exist because the Almighty God says so.
Amen.
Eh? Exist. Because God says I can. Hallelujah. I exist because God says so. Nobody else has got a say on the matter. God has made a decision. Oh, isn't that something to bow down and worship Him and give Him thanks that He's given you this life? That you might enjoy it and that you might carry His precious anointing, that you might carry His power.
Amen.
That you might go along and, just like Jesus, touch lives.
Yeah.
And see them changed. Blind eyes open, deaf ears unstopped, the dead raised, the sick healed completely. Because we carry within us the Anointed One. And we exist because God says,
Amen.
You can exist.
Yeah.
You exist because you belong to the Almighty God. What a thing to worship Him for.
Absolutely.
I don't exist for the devil's work.
No.
I don't exist for the devil's work, do you? Sometimes you see some people, some Christians, as they term themselves, and you think, I'm sure they're just about existing to do the work of the devil, because they're nothing but trouble. Let us exist to do the work of the kingdom of God. Praise His name. Are you glad you exist because God says so? Praise His name. Revelation chapter 5. Now, so far, all we've done is just read Revelation 4. And we've started to dig things out of there that we've not seen before. Revelation chapter 5. And I saw in the right hand of Him who sat on the throne a book. Written inside and on the back, and sealed with seven seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaim with a loud voice, Who is worthy to open the book and to break its seals? There's a question that went ringing through heaven. Heaven's a perfect place. Heaven's a pure place. And there, but it says in verse 3, it says, And no one in heaven or on the earth or under the earth was able to open the book or to look into it. And John says, I began to weep greatly because no one was found worthy to open the book or to look into it. One of the elders said to him, Stop weeping. Behold, the lion that is from the tribe of Judah, the root of David, has overcome so as to open the book and its seven seals.
Praise God.
Hallelujah. The lion of the tribe of Judah, Jesus, the Lion, the champion of God.
Amen.
My champion, yeah. Your champion, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David.
Amen.
Praise His name. And God said that He would always have a king on His throne,
yeah.
On the throne of the line of David.
Yeah.
Verse 6, and I saw between the throne with the four living creatures and the elders a lamb standing as if slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent out into all the earth. And He came. And He took it out of the right hand of Him, God, who sits on the throne. Jesus took the book from the hand of God. You getting the picture?
Yeah. Yeah.
Jesus walks across that crystal sea and enters into that epicenter of green light of life and reaches in and takes hold of the book that is in the hand of God. Because only Him, Jesus, because of His purity, was able to go that far. Verse 8, and when He had taken the book, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having each of one a harp and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. If you want to know where your prayers go, if you want to know where your conversations land, they're at the very throne room, at the very presence of God. That's what it says in the Word. That's why we need to pray. Because our prayers just don't go up to the ceiling and bounce back. They enter into the very throne room of God. We have a right to enter into that throne room. Verse 9, and they sang a new song, saying, worthy art Thou to take the book and to break its seals, for Thou wast slain and didst purchase for God with Thy blood men from every tribe and every tongue and people and nations. Praise God. Have a look round. Different nations, different tribes, different colours. And we're here because the Lamb purchased you and me.
Amen.
Oh, is He not worthy of praise? Is He not worthy to be worshipped?
Yeah.
Is He not worthy of honour and glory to be given unto Him? Verse 10, it says, and thou hast made them to be a kingdom of priests to our God, and they will reign upon the earth. Did you notice? It's not separate kingdoms, but it is that we have been saved to be a kingdom.
Amen.
And a priesthood to our God.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. We're the same. We're the same. Glory to Jesus. Verse 11. Well, before we go to verse 11. And they will reign upon the earth. We need to start reigning. We need to start taking our authority. Whilst we're here. This earth belongs to the Lord and everything that is in it. This does not belong to the devil.
No, no.
This does not belong to humanists.
No.
Belongs to God.
No.
and the children of God.
Amen.
Now start declaring that. Start giving thanks to God. Start speaking it out and declaring it in Jesus' mighty name.
Yes, thank you, Lord.
You might think, well, that's a big task. No, the task is already finished and done.
Amen.
You just proclaim it and declare it.
Amen.
You see, you need to be convinced. I need to be convinced. God already knows. God's already done it through Jesus Christ. They're convinced. They know the end from the beginning. We've just got to start worshipping them for what they've done for us and what they're going to do in us and through us to the glory of God. And verse 11 in He says, and I looked, and I heard the voice of many angels around the throne, and the living creatures and the elders, and the number of them was myriads of myriads and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing, and blessing, and blessing.
Amen.
Forever, and ever, and ever, and ever. Hallelujah.
Amen.
It's ringing out from heaven. It's where we need an echo system on the sound system, you see. Isn't it? Forever, and ever, and it rings out to the glory of God. And every creature, every created thing which was in heaven and on the earth and under the earth and on the sea and all things in them I heard saying, To him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be blessing and honor and glory and dominion forever and ever.
Amen.
And the four living creatures kept saying, Amen, 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 Amen. In other words, so be it, so be it, so be it, or let it be, let it be, let it be.
Amen.
And the elders fell down and worshipped. Now, if that's what's going on in heaven, earth copies what heaven is doing.
Yeah.
Earth should be the mirror image of what is going on in heaven right now.
Yeah.
And that's what the church should be doing.
Yeah.
And when the church does that, the power of God will enter the church.
God.
The glory of God will enter the church. And life will flow from the church.
Amen.
And we'll not need gimmicks.
No. Let
it. Starts with the same letter, but it's a gimmick. It's a little G. I want a big G.
Amen.
I want a big God that comes in and reveals His hand of mercy and power to the lives of men and women.
Amen.
And sets them free.
Praise God. I'm excited.
And delivers them and heals them and sets them up for the next task ahead. But as they go out, they touch lives and lives are being saved like that. Because the anointing, a real anointing, is on the people of God.
Amen.
Not words of anointing, but a real anointing. I've had touches of that in my life. But you know, we can let things and people rob us of it. And I'll tell you what, you will be then frustrated. And the way I see for us to get back to that, or for me, even for me to get back to that, is that worship Him who sits upon the throne. Yeah. Worship the Lamb, Jesus, who died and rose again, that I might have life and have it to the fullness in Jesus' mighty name. Yeah. Turn with me to Revelation chapter 22. Verse 8. And I, John, am the one who heard and saw these things. And when I heard and saw, I fell down to worship at the feet of the angel who showed me these things. And he, the angel, said to me, "Do not do that. I am a fellow servant of yours and of your brethren, the prophets, and of those who heed the words of this book. Worship God."
Amen.
Worship God. We don't worship angels. Angels are sent to minister to the heirs of salvation. They're sent to minister to you and to me. We're the heirs of salvation. Hallelujah. But our responsibility is to worship God. Worship God. We don't worship a man. We don't worship a ministry. We don't worship a doctrine. We worship God. That's who we're here for. That's who saved us. It's not somebody's ministries. It's not Billy Graham's ministry. It's not Joyce Meyer's ministry. It's not Creflo Dollar's ministry or whoever else's ministry that has saved us. It's not their ministry that has healed us. It is not their ministry that has set us free, but it is Jesus.
Amen.
It is our God.
Amen.
Who has healed us, saved us, and delivered us.
Amen.
They were messengers.
Yes.
You do not worship the messenger. We worship the one who gives the message.
Amen.
Initially, and that is our God.
Yes.
And we worship Him. And He is the one that we should be worshiping and magnifying. And it says about Jesus, Jesus said, "If I be lifted up, if I be worshipped above all things and exalted above all things," then it said, "I will draw other men and women to me."
Amen.
And our job, our future, is to lift up Jesus. And as we lift Him up, and as we worship Jesus, men and women will be drawn to Jesus Christ.
Amen.
But we've got to do it right. We've got to do it out of a true heart and a true spirit to worship the living God.
Yes.
Can you do it?
Yes.
I got three of your answers.
Yes.
Can you do it?
Yes.
Do you want to do it?
Yes.
It's important to you. It's important for you. See, God wants to get into a deeper relationship. I know some of you are scared to get in a deeper relationship with the Lord. Well, that should not be the way. God loves you. God cares for you. Verse 14 says, "Blessed are those who wash their robes, that they may have the right to the tree of life, and may enter by the gates into the city of our God." Through Christ and His sacrifice, our robes have been washed and cleansed. He's given us robes of righteousness, that we might worship Him. And also we have the right to that tree of life, which is Jesus.
Amen.
And we enter in and we receive and we partake of Jesus and we have divine life.
Amen.
We have eternal life.
Yeah.
And God has made that available. And through that, we can enter into the city of our God.
Yeah.
Praise His wonderful name. But we come through and we worship.
Yeah.
We come through and we worship. Because God has created us to worship Him. And to be that worshipper of God who presses in. And when we press in, you know, we'll see such an anointing coming upon us and that flows through us that lives that we come into contact will be changed instantly.
Yeah.
But all the time, it has to be God and Jesus need to be the forefront of our worship and our praise. And as we honour Him and give Him all the praise and all the glory, we'll see things happening in a mighty way. See, when we accept Jesus into our lives, He doesn't change us immediately in our bodies, does He? He didn't change our thinkings immediately, did He? It's a process. But what He did give to us was eternal life.
Amen.
He touched us and gave us our spirit back. He gave life to this spirit.
Amen.
We became a spirit man.
Amen.
We became connected to God. Suddenly we'd got the right dialing tone.
Yeah.
And we were connected to God. Suddenly we got the right ISDN number that connected us to God. We'd got the right email address that connected us to God. We got the right phone number, whatever you want, but it connected us to God.
Yeah. Yeah.
Before that, we were connected to the devil.
Yeah.
We connected to God. So the Word of God is what changes us. It changes our mind. It changes our thinking. And we need to press in and allow God to move in our lives in great power. Amen?
Amen.
Praise God. I'm going to leave it for there today. And just we'll come around the table together and we'll worship the Lord together and bless His holy name. Amen?
Amen.
Praise the Lord.